الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد begin reading the الأصل الثالث الأصل الثالث الدعوة إلى الله تعالى على بصيرة الدعوة إلى الله تعالى على بصيرة The third principle is calling to Allah upon insight Calling to Allah upon insight. We've seen that these fundamentals with regards to the call of a Salafiyya, with regards to a da'wah, a Salafiyya, and Mubarakah, it begins with knowledge, seeking knowledge and learning. And then after obtaining that beneficial knowledge, it's incumbent for a person to be sincere and truthful and uphold the rights of that knowledge in application. An application daily, and to be steadfast upon what that knowledge requires and necessitates from creed and belief and action, statement, and deed. And in this manner, a person, he will rectify himself. And in this manner, a person, he'll rectify himself and he'll be upright with his feet on a straight path by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will taste the sweetness of faith. And then after that, he will not suffice with himself. Rather, he will hope that others as well will participate in this sweetness that he has found and this joy that he has obtained from learning about the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about the Sunnah and the laws and legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the upright path and legislation and law of Al-Islam and he'll begin to propagate. And he began to propagate, he began to call, he began to invite others and inform them of the good that he has found and that he is upon himself in creed, belief, statement, application, and deed. In creed, belief, statement, and application, and deed. So these affairs here, they come in this order. First, it must be knowledge. And then after that, it must be application. Because the person who speaks or works without knowledge, then he will go astray. He will deviate. And if on top of that, he calls others, then he will lead others to misguidance. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ Then he will lead others to misguidance after being misguided and deviant himself first. So a person, he must first and foremost obtain the light of knowledge by the grace and permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. But initially that knowledge will not benefit him or be fruitful in his life until he believes in it wholeheartedly and then he applies it in his life and he abides by it in his life and he upholds the rights of that knowledge and application, and now he will benefit from the knowledge and it will be beneficial for him as an individual. At this time, and not before, he will begin to inform others and call others to and clarify the good that he has found and that upright path that he is upon. That upright path that he is upon. Ad-da'watu ila Allahi ta'ala ala basira. Calling to Allah upon insight. Al-basira, as we know, is the vision of the heart. And the basar is the vision of the eyes. So just as the eyes have al-basar, the heart has al-basira. Just as the eyes have al-basar, the heart has al-basira. And whenever the vision is crisp and strong and good, a person, he can see well and he can see far. Alhamdulillah. And likewise, whenever the basira is strong and profound and firm and deeply rooted in the heart, then a person as well who'll be able to understand and comprehend in a very beneficial and great manner. In a very beneficial and great manner. So the author, he says, رحمه ta'ala, إِذَا مَنَّ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْعَمَلِ فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يُبَادِرَ إِلَى إِصَالِ هَذَا الْخَيْرِ لِلنَّاسِ عِنْ طَرِيقِ دَعْوَتِهِمْ وَنُسْحِهِمْ وَإِرْشَادِهِمْ So if Allah bestows upon a Muslim knowledge, if Allah bestows upon a Muslim knowledge and the application of that, and meaning this is a favor from Allah Azza wa Jal, if Allah He bestows from His grace and His mercy this divine blessing upon a person, the divine blessing of knowledge and the application of that knowledge, it becomes their duty to deliver this goodness to others through inviting them and calling them to Allah and advising them and directing them. And each one according to his knowledge, and each one according to his ability, and each one according to his situation and circumstance, without going beyond the boundaries, or stepping beyond the limits, or putting oneself in a place that he does not deserve to be. The Salaf, they would say, from the scholars of hadith, Rahimallahu abdan, arafa qadra nafsihi. Rahimallahu abdan, arafa qadra nafsihi. May Allah have mercy on a person who knows his own level. May Allah have mercy on a person who knows his own level. So the people are different levels. The laymen are even different levels. And the students of knowledge and the scholars, they're different levels. And from the big mistakes and errors that occur that bring about much trials and tribulations and whenever these affairs are mixed. And whenever a person, he begins seeking knowledge or learning, or even he obtains some knowledge and even some type of status or position in that field, and then he places himself or he thinks himself or he considers himself to be in a level that's higher than he deserves. Many times, this is the cause for great fitin in many communities and many places. So a person, he has to realize and be humble and not step the boundaries. But also likewise, on the other hand, he will not be a coward. And he will not back down and not advise the people or direct the people or guide them in affairs he knows that they're in error with regards to, and he has light and knowledge, and he knows the correct way. So he will not leave them with claims that he is not a great scholar or student of knowledge, or he doesn't have a tazkiyah, or he doesn't have a diploma, or he doesn't have, whenever he sees his brothers or his family members drowning in shirk or drowning in innovation, and he's clear, and it's clear to him that they're in shirk, and he can clarify that, and even maybe he knows some evidences likewise. Or if he didn't know some evidences, it's possible for him to review and to search him to find those evidences, to clarify for them. So he will not leave them in a deviant way, or he will not leave them praying in the wrong manner or making wudu wrong and the likes like this. What he knows, he will not see these evils or these wrongs or these commandments not being established properly or these prohibitions being violated directly in front of him while he knows and he's aware of that, and not say anything claiming that he's not an imam or he's not a student of knowledge or he doesn't have a tazkiyah and the likes like this. This is all from being a coward and being scared and backing down and listening to the devil with the other billah or the likes like this. And he will step up and he will advise them for the sake of Allah in the best manner according to his knowledge. If in the conversation anything comes up, the doubts the person presents or any other questions that the person may have that the one advising him does not know, he will say, "Wallahu a'lam, I don't know that part. Inshallah, we can ask somebody or get further clarification. But as for this right here, this is not right. The wudu that you made right there, that's not correct. You need to do it over, brother." Like this, you just clarify for him and you teach him in a good manner. So if one of us, for example, a lover of the truth, one who hopes his dearest to be upon the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, to follow the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, had a misunderstanding in this affair. He thought that he was upon the way of Al-Sunnah, but he's upon another way. He thought he was performing his wudu properly, but he's not performing it properly. He was raised or he was taught by people maybe who blind follow, for example. And the likes like this, well, he thinks he's upon the truth. Would we like for someone to see us upon that wrong way while we think we're upon the truth and leave us there? No, we would not like for them to leave us there. We would hope that they would take us by the hand and tell us, "Barakallahu fiqh, ya akhi, this is not correct. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said this or he did that. In the Quran, Allah azza wa jalla, he mentioned this, he mentioned that. In the Sunnah of the Messenger, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, for example, the narration has come clarifying this and clarifying that." So you say that with a good intention, hoping to benefit to the best of your ability, alhamdulillah, and the good, it will spread. And the good, it will spread. So a person, he has to know his limits and he has to know his level. So he will not back down whenever he can benefit on the level that he benefits and the manner that he benefits in the circumstances that he's qualified for. And also he will not step the boundaries and pretend to be somebody that he's not. And this is the major problem that we find in many fitan happen because of these affairs. A translator thinks he's a great student of knowledge. A great student of knowledge thinks he's a great scholar. And then I cite this. Even some of the great scholars that are truly great scholars in certain circumstances that are general and touch the general population, the Muslims, you'll find them being silent. And they'll direct that to the people who are qualified for these specific major affairs with regards to the blood of the Muslims and the safety and security of countries and cities and the likes like this. So not everyone will get involved in every affair. Rather, a person has to know his level. And there's a statement for every situation, and there's a position in every circumstance, and there are people to take care of that affair. So the people of knowledge, they say, "Laysa kullu ma yu'lamu yuqal. Laysa kullu ma yu'lamu yuqal. Wa li kulli maqalin maqam. Wa li kulli maqamin rijaluhu. ليس كل ما يعلم يقال. Not everything somebody knows, he has to say it, meaning at every moment or at every time. ولكل مقال مقام. In every statement, it has a proper time and place to be mentioned. ولكل ميدان رجاله. ولكل ميدان رجاله. And for all of these fields, there are men who are qualified. And for all of these fields, there are men who are qualified. So this is very important to call to Allah. But when he must reach that level, and then whenever he calls to the limit, he calls within the limits of his ability. He calls to the limit in the limits of his ability. Some people, they think that calling to Allah, it means he's going to sit in front of the people and deliver a lecture. He's going to stand in front of a board and write on the board. He's going to give a khutbah and the likes like this. No doubt this is from the forefront of calling to Allah. No doubt this is from the forefront of calling to Allah, but it's not limited to that. Calling to Allah has many different fields, many different aspects. Advising your brother, this is calling to Allah whenever you're sincere. Giving direction, admonishing and the likes like this, or correcting somebody whenever they're in error, so on and so forth. This is a type of calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a type of calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. So everyone accordingly. Maybe somebody who will send a link to a beneficial class or to a lecture, live or broadcasted, or to a recording, so on and so forth, to a website or to a page that is beneficial and reliable. This is from calling to Allah. This is from calling to Allah, sharing knowledge, giving somebody a book, giving somebody a handout and the like sign. This is calling to Allah. This is calling to Allah. This is from the aspects of making da'wah. So these are examples, and it's not restricted to this. So the field of da'wah is a vast field. It's a vast field, helping in many different ways, financially or physically, or with people's expertise and the likes like this, in the different fields of communication and technology, so on and so forth, or these different platforms. All of this is from participating and calling to Allah. So a believer, he will hope to have a share in that as much as he can, according to his qualifications and according to his ability. According to his qualifications and according to his ability. So the author, he says, Rahimahullah, فَإِنَّ هَذَا هُوَ عَمَلُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ يقول الله تعالى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is because this was the occupation of the prophets عليهم الصلاة والسلام. Allah, he mentions about his prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. قول صلى الله عليه وسلم قول هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني. Say, meaning say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my way, this is my path, this is my methodology that I'm traversing upon. I call to Allah upon insight. I call to Allah upon insight. I and those who follow me. I and those who follow me. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Glorified is Allah, and I'm not from the pagans and polytheists. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my pathway. This is what I traverse upon. This is my lifestyle. This is what I believe in. This is how I live. This is my methodology. I call to Allah. I call to Allah. This is indication of sincerity, calling to Allah and to nothing else. Ala basira, upon insight, calling upon light, calling upon knowledge, calling upon guidance, calling upon clarity, not upon whims, not upon desires, not upon blind following, not upon misguidance, not upon opinions, not upon whims, rather calling upon light, calling upon guidance with evidence and proof from the Quran and the Sunnah. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. So this is what the Prophet ﷺ was upon. He was the caller to Allah ﷺ, calling upon insight, calling upon light and guidance, a certain knowledge, revelation, alhamdulillah. And likewise, Allah, he clarifies that's the condition and the circumstance or characteristics of those who truly follow him. أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Me and those who follow me. So those who are closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are those who are closest to his traits and characteristics. And they follow him diligently in his way, in his path, in his methodology. And it's clarified here that his way and his path and his methodology sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to call to Allah upon insight. So therefore, the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from those who follow him and ascribe to his ummah are those who call to Allah like him upon insight. And this is clarified in the hadith of Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, which is in Sunan Abi Dawud, and other than that, in the end of the narration, when the ulama'a warathatu al-anbiya, when the anbiya lam yuwarithu dinaran wala dirham, warathu al-ilma, faman akhadahu akhada بِحَذٍ وَافِرٍ, that indeed the scholars, the people of knowledge, they are the inheritors of the prophets. And the prophets did not leave behind as an inheritance any dinar or dirham. No, any dinar or dirham. No gold or any silver. No wealth. They left behind knowledge. So whoever obtains that has obtained a great portion. So it is only the closest to a person that would inherit him in his wealth. That would inherit him in his wealth. So this is an indication that the people of knowledge, they're the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they're the ones who receive his inheritance. They're the ones who receive his inheritance. What is his inheritance? Knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge and the application of that knowledge and the perfection of that is to call. Is to call to that knowledge. So knowledge, the application of that knowledge, then after that one he must call and clarify that knowledge. So this is the way of the people of knowledge and those upon their way, and they're the greatest and the best of this ummah, after the companions, radiallahu anhum, the people of knowledge. They have the highest level and ranks from all of the believers. يَرْفَعْ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. It's been narrated by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Umar, radiallahu anhu. He says, أَمَا وَاللَّهِ سَمِعْتُ نَبِيَكُمْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَقُولُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَكْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ آخَرِينَ. I swear, by Allah, I heard your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that indeed Allah, He will raise people by way of this book and He will lower others. He will raise people by way of this book, meaning the Quran, and He will lower others. So it's by way of knowledge people are raised. And it's by way of knowledge people are steadfast by the grace and the permission of Allah azza wa jal. And a person, he will obtain knowledge and he will learn it and he will believe in it and he will follow it and he will love it and he will prefer it and he will implement it in his life and he will strive against his soul to uphold the rights of that. And he will strive against his soul to uphold the rights of that and application, and then he will call others likewise. He would invite others likewise. In this manner, a person is following truthfully in the best manner the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says now, وَاللَّهُ رَفَعَ مَنْزِلَةِ الدَّعِي إِلَيْهِ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ فَقَالَ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And Allah has raised the level of the one who calls to Him over others. And Allah, He has said, the meaning of which is, and who is better in speech than the one who invites to Allah, does righteous deeds, and says, indeed, I am of the Muslims. So the intent here, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا, and who is better in statement? Who is better in speech? What is intended here is not a question. It's not a question that is intended. Rather, there's a negation. يعني لا أحد أحسن قولا. No one is better in statement. That's what is intended here. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا لله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. أي لا أحد أحسن قولا ممن دعا لله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. The meaning is there's no one better in statement. Meaning no one better in his statement, in his speech, in his position, in his way of life, in his methodology. No one is better than the one who calls to Allah while he himself is working righteous deeds. And he says, indeed, I'm from the Muslims. He said, indeed, I'm from the Muslims. Indeed, I'm from those who submit and surrender to Allah with tawheed, inwardly and outwardly. He's my Lord. I do not worship anyone but Him. And I comply to Him in obedience, in public and in private. And I free myself from paganism and polytheism and deviation in every aspect and its people. So this is the best of mankind. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا أَيْ لَا أَحَدْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. No one is better than this person. This is the highest rank that people they may reach in this life. The best of statements, the best of speech are those who call to Allah. And in themselves they're upright, guided, performing the righteous and good deeds, pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they say that I'm from those who surrender and submit to Allah. That's to emphasize even the sincerity. I'm a Muslim, I'm calling to Islam. Submit to like I'm submitting. Submit and do the deeds that I'm doing. I'm calling you to the way that I'm upon, that I've been favored and guided to from the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Follow that way, don't follow me. I'm from those surrendering and submitting to Allah. Follow the way that leads you to Allah. Surrender and submit to Allah like I have done. You will taste the sweetness of faith. It will benefit you. You will be happy. You will find joy. You will find contentment. You will find peace in your heart. So this is the best of the people. So the author, he says, أَمَّا عَنْ ثَوَابِهِ وَأَجْرِهِ فَهُوَ عَظِيمٌ لِإِظَّمِ أَمَلِهِ. فإن الداعية إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى له مثل أجر من تبعه في الخير من غير أن ينقص من أجورهم شيئا. As for the reward and merit of calling others to Allah, then it is immense due to the greatness of this deed. A person who calls others to Allah shares in the reward of those who follow their guidance without diminishing the reward of the followers in any way. Without diminishing the reward of the followers in any way. The author in his footnote, he has a narration which is collected by Al-Imam Muslim from the Hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من دعا إلى هدى كان له من الأجر مثل أجور من تبعه لا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا. That whoever invites and calls to guidance, the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will receive a reward similar to the rewards of those who follow it, without that detracting from their rewards in the slightest. So this is a clarification of the greatness of this deed. Anyone who calls to Allah sincerely and clarifies the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah and the proper understanding, and people benefit from that and follow that, he has the reward of that they apply. For this reason, a number of the people of knowledge, they will mention, do not let anyone precede you in teaching your child the Fatiha. You reap the rewards. That's your child. You should be the first one to teach him the Fatiha so that you can reap in the rewards of that child's recitation of the Fatiha for the rest of his life. And an encouragement to have a hand in this and to participate in this, beginning with yourself and your family. So if a person, he taught someone the Fatiha, and then that individual, he lived for 50 years, and he recited the Fatiha a minimum of 17 times a day. Right? Obligatory. So each time he recites, the one who's reciting, he has a reward for his recitation. And the one who taught him the recitation and educated him in this affair shares in that reward without diminishing the initial reward whatsoever. So a person who calls to the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla and invites others to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and alleviates doubts from their hearts and he turns them away from sin and transgression and the likes like that, those who respond to his call and implement that in their life, they have a great reward, and the caller is sharing in that reward likewise. And there's no deficiency or decrease in the rewards whatsoever from the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a number of narrations, and he's similar to this one, even different wordings of the same narration. And likewise, another narration from Anas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الدال على الخير كفاعله. الدال على الخير كفاعله. The one who leads people to goodness, الدال على الخير كفاعله. The one who leads others to goodness, he directs them to goodness, he shows them the right way. It's like the one who does it. Somebody who sent somebody a link for the lesson and the likes like this, and then he listened to that lesson. And the reward and the benefit that he gets from that, a person who sent him the link, he's sharing in that. All he did is push his thumb on a button. But if he did that sincerely for the sake of Allah, he's hoping to benefit that person. He did it upon knowledge. He knows that the link is leading people to that which is proper and sound from the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then that person benefited from that. Alhamdulillah, he was sharing the reward of that. Even if he dies, and that person continues, and that benefit continues, and people continue, even if he taught somebody else, and he shared the link with somebody else, and then somebody else benefited, and then they benefited, that each one who benefits sincerely in the deen of Allah, he will have a reward with Allah. And those who have a hand in that, participating in that, and shared in that knowledge or information or benefit reaching others, they also share in the reward. This is from the grace and the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the virtues of calling to Allah and benefiting the people. The most beloved of the slaves to Allah are those who benefit his slaves the most. And if you benefit and you're kind to the people, Allah will bring benefit to you and be kind to you. And if you're merciful and show pardon and forgiveness to the people, Allah, he will show mercy to you and he will pardon you and forgive you. Allah, he will deal with the people according to the way the people deal with each other. If a person is harsh and rude and he's impatient and the likes like this, then a person, he's going to get treated similarly. He's going to be taken to account. Somebody who takes people to account for every last little thing and doesn't let anything slip except he checks them on that, then maybe he's going to be dealt with in a similar manner. The people of knowledge have mentioned the likes of these principles derived from a number of different narrations and authentic texts. So the way that one deals with the people, this is an indication of how he will be dealt with. كَمَا تَدِينُ to Dan. Kama tadinu to Dan. So this issue here is of utmost importance and benefit, to participate in spreading goodness, to participate in raising the ignorance and the deviation and misguidance from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, helping the people to learn, beginning with yourself and those under your care and your family and your household and your loved ones and your friends and companions who are close to you and the likes like this, and you share and you benefit and you work together and you cooperate. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. From the greatest aspect of making ta'awun, cooperating upon righteousness and piety, is seeking knowledge and learning and implementing the religion in daily life practice. This is from the best of the affairs to cooperate upon. Spreading knowledge from the best of the affairs to cooperate upon because of this issue here. Those who cooperate upon this, and then it goes out and it spreads, all the reward that they get, it comes back to them. So now if we think about this principle here, all of the good that we do and all of the knowledge that we have and the understanding of the religion that we have, who does it go back to? Mention the chain for me. Beginning with three. It goes back from us all the way to the atba' tabi'in. And from them to the tabi'in. And from them to the sahaba. And from them to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whenever you pray properly as described in the narrations, whenever you establish the religion correctly as clarified by these generations, you have a great reward for that with Allah azza wa jal. You have a great promise of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and virtue. And likewise, those who had a share in that knowledge reaching you as well. And that's going to go all the way back to those generations first and foremost, because they're the ones who transmitted this to us in the proper and clear and pure manner. So they're going to benefit first and foremost from this. And then before all of that, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So long as the people are believing in and acting upon his sunnah and his laws and legal ways in the manner prescribed, in the manner he taught, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reward continues to be connected back to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You understand this part? But if someone were to say that this is the sunnah, or say that it's from Islam, but there's no evidence for that, or they introduce innovations that are new, claiming that it's from the deen, but there's no proof for that, whether it's a newly introduced affair, whether it's an innovation in the deen, and they work by way of that, do they have a reward for that? The people who work innovation, do they have a reward for that? The people who work upon ignorance, claiming that they're doing actions that are pleasing to Allah with no knowledge and no light and no guidance and no proof and no evidence, rather if you look at it in detail, find that it's contrary to the evidence, do they have a reward for that? No, they have no reward for that. No, they have no reward for that. You don't have a reward for working upon ignorance or misguidance. This is what we're asking to not be like. Be like wal al-dhalin. You don't want to be like al-dhalun. Al-dhalun humun nasara. Al-dhina ya'maluna wa la ya'lamun. The people who do actions in these, but they do not know. And they innovate in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they claim things are from the religion and pleasing to Him, when in reality they're not, and there's no evidence for that. So they have no reward. Rather, they have a punishment. They have a punishment. So if they have no reward for the deeds that they're doing, and they're working hard to establish, like the birthday, for example, or the way they dance in the masjid and the lights like this, in their dhikr circles, so on and so, all of this, claiming that it's pleasing to Allah, do they have reward for that? No, they do not have reward for that. So they left the sunnah, and they practice innovation. So when they left the sunnah, they're not getting a reward no more. And they practice innovation, they're not getting a reward no more. And in this manner, likewise, the reward that goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been cut off. You understand? And then those who call to innovation and turn away from the sunnah, they turn away from the sunnah and they call to innovation. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that whenever a person introduces innovation, this is imatat as-sunan. This is killing the sunnah. This is doing away with the sunnah. Whenever people introduce innovations, then a sunnah is lost. Whenever they introduce innovations, then a sunnah is lost. Just to make an example, the innovation of shaking hands after the salah. Right? The sunnah is to what? Use your hand and your finger to make tasbih. Subhanallah, 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 like this. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. You use your finger to make tasbih. You don't use your hands to shake hands at that place right there. But many people, what do? The first thing they do is shake hands and they leave off the sunnah of making tasbih with their hand. So whenever there's an innovation introduced, there's a sunnah that's being lost and neglected. So when the sunnah is lost and neglected, the reward that goes back to our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is cut off. You understand that? So for this reason, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book Miftah Dar al-Sa'ada, He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the greatest enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam are the innovators and the callers to innovation. Because they're the ones who are severing the tie and cutting off the reward that reaches him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So long as the people are calling, are implementing the sunnah and calling to the sunnah and spreading the sunnah and steadfast upon the sunnah, then the reward continues. Then the reward continues back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You understand this? But whenever people turn away from the sunnah and they start practicing actions that are innovative and have no evidence, that are not from his deen and not from his way, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then they're severing that tie and they're cutting off that reward that goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So those who do that, they themselves are upon a deviation and they're cutting off that path. And those who call to that way are even more severe, calling to the path of reward and blessing to be cut off from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So then there are yani alad a'da an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the most severe enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This narration here that we're discussing in Sahih Muslim, in the end of it, it clarifies the dangers of this affair likewise. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, وَمَنْ دَعَى إِلَى ضَلَالَهِ وَمَنْ دَعَى إِلَى ضَلَالَهِ كان عليه من الإثم مثل آثام من تبعه لا ينقص ذلك من آثامهم شيئا. And whoever calls or invites to misguidance, then he will bear the likes of that sin and the sin of those who follow him without detracting from their sins in the slightest. So it's the same thing. If a person he calls to deviation or misguidance, he calls to innovation and newly introduced affairs in the religion, either in creed or in application, either in creed or methodology or in worship and the likes like this, he calls to this affair, then he will have the sin of that. And he will share in the sin of those who follow him in that likewise all the way to the day of resurrection. All the way to the day of resurrection. When the other bid, or those who call to sin, those who call and glorify sin and deviation and misguidance and lust and likes like this, that he will bear the sin of that. And then people who follow him and answer him in that call, then they will have the sin of that likewise, and he will share in their sin because he initiated that affair. He had a hand in that affair. So those who have a hand in goodness, they share in the reward, and those who have a hand in evil, they share in the sin and the ill outcome of that affair. And this issue, it continues even after death. For this reason, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that and with regards to reward and recompense, there are two lives. A person, he has a life now, and he has a hayat thaniya, the second life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْسَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ. And we write and inscribe that which they have presented from righteous and good deeds, and likewise from evil and bad deeds. It's inscribed with Allah Azza wa Jal. وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا. This is clear. What is intended from here? And we write. And we record everything that they sent forward, and meaning from good and from bad. It's recorded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَآثَارَهُمْ. And their traces. The people of Nara, as they mentioned, their traces, هَذِهِ هِيَ الْحَيَاتِ الثَّانِيَ. This is the second life. The second life with regards to recompense and reward and accountability. Recompense and reward and accountability. We write that which they have done, that which they sent forth, from the actions that they performed their self. From the actions that they performed their self of good, and from righteousness, and likewise from evil and transgression. Likewise from evil and transgression. As for their traces, then that's the effects that they had on others, and the good or bad that they left behind after them. After them, the good that they had left behind from teaching beneficial knowledge or advising, directing the people or writing beneficial works or leaving audios or building a masjid. They had a hand in that. They had a share in that. The masjid continued, or they left the waqf, or they did something for the orphans, or any action of goodness or righteousness or charity that they leave behind and that continues after their death. These are from their athar. These are from their traces that they leave behind of goodness. And so long as that goodness continues to thrive, then likewise the reward continues to come to him in his grave. We understand that. So this is with regards to goodness. Also with regards also with regards to evil. People who do evil and they call to evil, they have a hand in evil, misguidance, deviation, and the likes like this, whether it's with regards to the shubuhat, innovations in the religion, or with regards to the shahawat, the sins and transgression and the likes like this, if they do that and leave that, if they do that and that continues even after their death, then they will continue to receive and reap the ill and bad deeds and the accountability with regards to that. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ So the callers to deviation and evil, if that evil continues after their death, they will continue to be taken to account for that. And they will continue to bear the burden of that sin so long as it continues. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ So therefore a person, he has to be very cautious with regards to his actions and deeds and how he influences others. How he influences others. His deeds that he does specifically for himself, and likewise the influence that he has on others, that which he shares with others, that the way that he deals with others, whenever he calls others, whether he talks to others, what he informs others, how he affects others. Those who affect others in a good manner, then they'll have great goodness, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. But those who affect others in a bad manner, waliyadhi billah, they pay the price of that. They pay the price of that. So the author, he says, وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي حَدِيثِ عَلِيٍّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالَ لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرٍ النَّعَامِ And it has been narrated in the hadith of Ali رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said, For Allah to guide one man through you is better than the red camels. For Allah to guide one man through you is better than the red camels. Is better than the red camels. The author, he has a footnote. He says, "Humur na'am al-ibil al-hamra, wa kanat anfas al-amwal 'inda al-Arab." These are the red camels, and they were the most valuable wealth of the Arab. And he's indicating that this is a high and lofty verse. Better for you, better than you, than having the red camels. Meaning the most precious and valuable wealth that is known at that time, the most precious and valuable wealth and beloved wealth to them at that time were these red camels. So for Allah to guide one person at your hands is better for you than obtaining these red camels. And it's better than you for having the best of this life. And it's because of the great goodness that will come from that. It's because if Allah guides someone at your hands, all of the good that he does is going to go to your record and in your good deeds. You understand that? In your good deeds, without decreasing or diminishing his reward whatsoever. Alhamdulillah. So he says, وَمِمَّا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُعْلَمَ هُنَا أنه لا يشترط لمن يكون داعيا إلى الله عز وجل أن يلم بجميع الأحكام الشرعية ولكن الواجب عليه أن يكون عالما بما يدعو إليه أي القضية التي يبلغها للناس يجب عليه أن يكون عالما بها العلم الشرعي It's a mistake there, huh? Ada Alif. It is important to note that a person does not need to have comprehensive knowledge of all Islamic rulings to be a caller to Allah. It's important here to know so that we understand. We shouldn't misunderstand. It is important to note that a person does not need to have comprehensive knowledge of all of the legislative rulings to be a caller to Allah. However, it is obligatory for the caller to have sound knowledge of what they are inviting others to. Meaning they must have proper understanding of the specific matter they are conveying to others in accordance with the legislative teachings or in accordance with the legislative knowledge. So a person, he doesn't have to be a great scholar to call to Allah. No doubt, the more knowledge one has, then the inshallah, is hope the greater benefit that he will bring the people. But what is required is if a person is going to call someone, he has knowledge of that affair. He has knowledge of what he's speaking about. He has knowledge of what he's advising. He has knowledge of the topic at hand. And the likes like this. So he doesn't have to be a scholar and know all of the great details of the Islamic legislation. But the issues at hand that he is discussing, that he is calling to, or that he is speaking about, he has to have knowledge of that. And he has to be certain with regards to that. So if there's someone who needs advice with regards to tahara, with regards to salah, and a person, he's aware of these affairs, but maybe he does not have detailed knowledge of other issues in the religion, but the issue at hand he does know, then he will call to that. He will invite to that. He will clarify that in the limits of his knowledge. And he will not be shy to ever say at any moment, I don't know. Wallahu a'lam. La adri. If he doesn't know, if something comes up, he says, this part, I don't know. Wallahu a'lam. I'm just telling you what I know. This is what I know. And if you like, we can search and research together, and we can ask the people of knowledge to find the clarification of this particular issue. So a person, he'll be careful not to ever speak about Allah without knowledge. And he will not be shy to say, Allahu A'lam. I do not know Allah. Allah knows best. La Adri. Allahu A'lam. I don't know. Allah knows best. Is'al Ghayri. Ask somebody else. Or they said, give me some time. We can look and research. So on and so forth. So this is very important. So a person, he calls according to his qualifications, according to his knowledge, according to his ability and the realm of that. And if he sticks to that and he's humble with regards to that and he's sincere and truthful in his advice with regards to that, then he can bring great benefit by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the author says, وَلِذَلِكَ يَقُولَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. And for this reason, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, convey from me even if it's one verse. Convey from me even if it's one verse. And if it's one verse that you know and you know it properly, then convey that. And if you know some of the benefits and rulings derived from that, then you convey that likewise. Then you convey that likewise according to what you know. If you know some other texts like narrations that support the understanding and the evidences derived from that, then you narrate that likewise. You convey that likewise. Alhamdulillah, in the limits of your knowledge. In the limits of your knowledge, whatever you are able. So he says, فَإِذَا عَرَفَ الْمُسْلِمُ آيَةً وَفَهِمَ مَعْنَاهَا عَنْ طَرِيكُ الْعُلَمَةِ وَالْمُفَسِّرِينَ وَعَرَفَ حَدِيثًا كَذَلِكَ مِنْ أَحَدِيثِ رَسُولِنَا صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلم حكما من الأحكام الشرعية كذلك عن طريق العلماء أو عن طريق مؤلفات أهل العلم بلغه لغيره من الناس ولو لم يكن عالما بغير ذلك الحكم أو الحديث أو الآية. So if a Muslim understands a verse of the Quran through the explanations of scholars and interpreters, and the people of التفسير, the scholars of التفسير, or knows a hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, or is aware of an Islamic ruling, or is aware of a legislative ruling through scholars or the writings of learned individuals, they are encouraged to convey it to others. This is valid even if the person does not possess knowledge of other rulings, narrations, or verses. Of other rulings, narrations, or verses. Maybe the issue at hand is with regards to being kind and obeying the parents. And this individual, he knows the verses. He knows the verses with regards to the virtue of that in Surah Al-Isra. And then likewise, in Surah Luqman, also in Surah Al-Ahqaf, he memorized these verses and he's familiar with them. So in this issue is at hand, he can discuss that affair and he can advise the people with regards to that, alhamdulillah. But if, for example, if he doesn't know the issues with regards to the verses of Siyam or the verses of Dain, debt, for example, or the verses of Zakat, maybe he knows them but he doesn't know the rulings and how they're understood and derived from these particular verses. So he would not talk about that one. He would not talk about that one because he doesn't know. Even if he memorized the verses, but he doesn't know, he doesn't understand the aspect of how the rulings are derived from them. Maybe he memorized the Mawarith in Surah An-Nisa, for example. But he doesn't know the details of that. So he would not delve into that. He would say, I know these verses, I memorized them, but I don't understand how they're derived. So he would be silent about that. We can ask somebody who knows. But if he goes to the issues that he's talking about, when they talk about Tawheed, he knows the issue of Tawheed, he knows the verses of Tawheed and the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he will discuss that in the limits of his knowledge, alhamdulillah. The author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, yaqulu al-shaykh al-alama Abdul Rahman ibn Qasim, rahimahullahu fi hashiyatihi li kitab al-Tawheed. Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Qasim, the great scholar, may Allah have mercy on him, he states in his commentary on Kitab At-Tawheed, on Kitab At-Tawheed, and he has a commentary where he summarized Fath Al-Majid and then added some brief additional benefits. It's a very beneficial commentary. He says in this commentary, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَلَا بُدَّ لِلدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ شَرْطَيْنِ أَن تَكُونَ خَالِصَةً لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ وَتَكُونَ وَفْقَ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ وَنْ يَكُونَ الدَّاعِي عَارِفًا بِمَا يَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ فَإِنْ أَخَلَّ بِالْأَوَّلِ كَانَ مُشْرِكًا وَإِنْ أَخَلَّ بِالثَّانِي كَانَ مُبْتَدِعًا انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. So he says, calling to Allah requires two essential conditions. That is, that it is done sincerely for the sake of Allah and that it conforms to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Additionally, the caller must have knowledge of what they are calling to. If the first condition is neglected, the person becomes a polytheist, a mushrik. And if he's not calling to Allah, he's not sincere in that, he's calling to something else for another reason, this is a type of shirk. It's a type of shirk. He becomes a pagan. He's calling to other than Allah. And he says, if the second condition is neglected, then he becomes a mubtadi. He becomes a mubtadi. He becomes an innovator. And if he doesn't have knowledge, and it's not in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he's calling to Allah, but he's not doing it in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he will be an innovator. Then he will be an innovator. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. How many people have innovated in these days? Waliyadu billah, and claims to call to Allah. The author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, this was the end of his statement. The author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وانطلاقاً من الشرط الثاني الذي ذكره رحمه الله قلنا إن وسائل الدعوة إلى الله توقيفية ولا يستحدث فيها شيء لم يكن عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And based on the second condition mentioned, يعني by the Sheikh عبد الرحمن بن قاسم رحمه الله تعالى, we affirm that the means of da'wah, according to Allah, are توقيفية, meaning they are fixed and prescribed by the legislation. They are fixed and prescribed by the legislation. No new methods or practices can be introduced that were not part of the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Calling to Allah, ad-da'wah ila Allah, is ibadah. Rather, it's from the greatest aspects of ibadah. And ibadah has two conditions. Every ibadah has two conditions. Al-ikhlasu lillahi ta'ala wa al-mutaba' lil-rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To be sincerity for the sake of Allah, the Most High, and to follow the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the case with every act of worship. And from the greatest and best acts of worship is calling to Allah. So therefore, it's not allowed to innovate innovations and to practice newly introduced actions or innovations and the likes like this in calling to Allah, like some of them they do. They dance and they call to Allah, so they claim. Or they make rap songs calling to Allah. Or they do action plays and they call to Allah. Or they make movies and they claim to call to Allah. All of this is falsehood. All of this is falsehood and not allowed. This is not proper. This is an innovation in the deen of Allah. Azza wa Jalla is not accepted. And that call is not rewarded. Right? He has a threat of a punishment for that. And the reward is cut off from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, like we have seen from the dangers of innovating innovations. So from the worst innovations innovated in the call to Allah. In the call to Allah, وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. So he says, وَلِذَلِكَ اشْتَدَ نَكِيرُ السَّلَفِ عَلَى أَهْلِ السَّمَاعِ الَّذِي كَانَ يَفْعَلُهُ السُّفِيَّ وَلَوْ كَانَ هَذَا السَّمَاعِ مُجَرَّدًا عَنِ الْآلَاتِ الْمُحَرَّمَةِ كَالْآلَاتِ اللَّهْوِ وَنَحْوِهَا وَلَوْ كَانَ هَذَا السَّمَاعُ نَافِيًا لتليل القلوب لأنه لم يأتي له شاهد في الكتاب ولا في السنة ولا في فعل سلف الأمة رضي الله تعالى عنهم. For this reason, the Salaf vehemently opposed practices, and they diligently opposed practices such as sama', any spiritual listening. Sama', yani this is what the Sufiya they call. They sit together and they sing. And some of them they sing with musical instruments, and some of them they sing without musical instruments and the likes like this. And they consider this a means of drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They even have rulings and their books with regards to this. Bab al-sama' wa adab al-raqs and the likes like this. The chapter of listening to music or songs and singing, and rulings and manners and etiquettes of dancing. And this is in a book that contains other chapters like Kitab al-Tahara or Kitab al-Salah. Then whenever you study long enough with them, you reach Kitab al-Sama' wa adab al-raqs and the likes like this. This is found in their books, waliyadu billah. And they have statements in there, if the Shaykh is dancing so much and he becomes so involved in this affair and it's affecting him so well and his turban falls off his head, then all of the students must take their turbans off likewise, because it's not from good manners that the Shaykh has taken his turban off and the students have their turbans on. And the likes like that. They have the statements like this. You'll find it in their books. You'll find it in many of their books. You'll find worse than that, waliyadu billah. You'll find worse than that, waliyadu billah. Even some of them, they will claim that the sama' and listening to the ghina, it has a greater effect and bringing joy to the heart than listening to the Qur'an. You'll find it in the books with words they write with their selves. And some of the books, they call them reviving the religion. And the people of knowledge, they have actually considered that book to be killing and doing away with the religion because of the dangerous innovations and the foul practices that are introduced in the likes of those books. So this is the sama' that he's referring to. This is the sama' he's referring to. So this opposition remained even if such sessions were devoid of prohibited instruments. And even if they didn't have instruments, they prohibited that. The Salaf, they prohibited that staunchly. Like musical instruments and similar forms of amusement, even if they were intended to soften the hearts, such practices were rejected because there is no evidence supporting them in the Quran, the Sunnah, or the actions of the pious predecessors. He says, وَلِذَلِكَ يَقُولُ شَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ بُنْ تَيْمِيَّ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ كَمَا فِي الْمَجْمُوعِ الْفَتَاوَى كَمَا فِي مَجْمُوعِ الْفَتَاوَى الْجُزِ الْحَادِي عَشَرِ فَأَمَّا سَمَاءُ الْقَاصِدِينَ لِلصَّلَاحِ الْقُلُوبِ فالاجتماع على ذلك أي الذين يجتمعون على السماع قاصدين بهذا الاجتماع إصلاح قلوبهم وتزكية نفوسهم إما نشيد مجرد يعني ليس معه آلات لهو نذير الغبار وإما بالتصفيق ونحو ذلك فهو السماع المحدث في الإسلام فإنه أحدث بعد ذهاب القرون الثلاثة الذين أثنى عليهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حيث قال خير القرون القرون الذي بعثت فيه ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم وقد كره أعيان الأمة ولم يحضره أكابر المشايخ. So he mentions here the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and this part is not translated. He said, for this reason, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy upon, transmitted from him in the gatherings of his fatwa and volume number 11, that he says, as for the practice of spiritual listening, the sama' that we're discussing here, by those who gather with the intention of rectifying their hearts and purifying their souls, whether it involves simple chanting without instruments, like reciting poetry, includes clapping and similar acts. This is a newly introduced practice in Islam. It was introduced after the passing of the three virtuous generations that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised. Whenever he said, the best of generations is the one in which I was sent. Then those who followed them. Any of the prominent figures of the Ummah disliked it, and the leading scholars and elders did not attend such gatherings. He says, إلا أن يقول الشيخ رحمه الله في ضمن الكلام على السماع هذا وبالجملة فعلى المؤمن أن يعلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يترك شيئا يقرب إلى الجنة إلا وقد حدث به ولا شيئا يبعد عن النار إلا وقد حدث به وأن هذا السماع لو كان وكان مصلحة لشرعه الله ورسوله لو كان مصلحة لشرعه الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Shaykh al-Islam, he continues to mention in his discussion about these so-called spiritual listenings. In summary, a believer must know that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not leave anything that brings one closer to paradise without explaining it, nor did he leave anything that distances one from the fire without warning against it. If this practice of sama' were truly beneficial, Allah and His Messenger would have prescribed it. Allah and His Messenger would have prescribed it. Just have two minutes, inshallah, or 3 minutes possibly. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. He says, Rahimahullah, فإن الله يقول اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Because Allah, He says, this day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you, and I am pleased for you with Islam as your religion and way of life. The author, he says, Rahimahullah, فإذا وجد فيه منفعة لقلبه ولم يجد شاهد ذلك لا من الكتاب ولا من السنة لم يلتفت إليه لا من الكتاب ولا من السنة لم يلتفت إليه. If someone finds benefit in such practices for their heart, but finds no evidence for it in the Quran or Sunnah, they must not pay any attention to it. He says, Rahimahullah, قال سهل بن عبد الله أتستري Rahimahullah, كل وجد لا يشهد له الكتاب والسنة فهو باطل. Sahal ibn Abdullah al-Tustari rahimahullah, he says, any spiritual state, any wajd, that lacks evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah is falsehood. وقال الدارani rahimahullah, إنه لتلوم بقلبي النكتة من نكة القوم فلا أقبلها إلا بشاهدين عدلين الكتاب والسنة. He says, هذا كلامه rahimahullah. الدارani, he said, rahimahullah, when an idea from the people of spirituality, and referring to the Sufis, arises in my heart, I do not accept it unless it is supported by two just witnesses, the Quran and the Sunnah. He says, rahimahullah, وفي قوله وإذا وجد فيه منفعة لقلبه ولم يجد شاهدا ذلك لا من الكتاب ولا من السنة. He says, rahimahullah, أبلغ رد على من جوز التمثيل للدعوة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى لأن فيه منفعة ولأن القلوب ترين إذا استمعت إليه وشهدت مناظره. So his statement here, Rahimahullah, if someone finds benefit in it for their hearts but does not find evidence for it in the Quran or the Sunnah, it says Ibn Taymiyyah's statement, that's not right. This is Dairani's statement here. It says if someone finds benefit in it from their heart but does not find evidence for it in the Quran or Sunnah, they must not pay attention to it. It's a strong rebuttal, refutation to those who justify using acting, yani tamthil, drama and plays and the likes and acting, movies, or other modern forms of entertainment for da'wah under the pretext that it benefits the audience or softens the hearts. So he closes here with a fundamental principle. فَعَلَى ذَلِكَ نَقُولَ يَجِبُ أَن تَكُونَ وَسَائِلُ الدَّعْوَةَ تَوْقِيفِيَّةَ لَا يُشْرَعُ فِيهَا إِلَّا مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ وَصَحَابَتُهُ الْكِرَامُ. Therefore, based upon this, the means of da'wah must be tawqifiyya, meaning it's limited to an evidence in the Qur'an and the Sunnah, not based upon desires or whims of anything outside of the book and the Sunnah and the standing of the Salaf. Limited to what was prescribed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his noble companions. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.